We're doing the Ein Yaakov on Shabbos. We're up to the fourth chapter. Amar Rabbi Yanai. Who was Rabbi Yanai? Rabbi Yanai was the Rebbe of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the Amora, chief rabbi of Israel, who compiled the Jerusalem Talmud. So we're learning a quote by Rabbi Yanai. Tfilin tzichin guf naki. When we don tfilin, our bodies have to be clean. How so? Ke Elisha bal knafayim. Like the following rabbi who had the nickname Elisha bal knafayim. And we will explain why he was given that nickname. Elisha, master of the wings. We'll still discuss that in a minute. What? Right. You know the story. Great. Mayhi. What does that mean? You need a clean body when you don tefillin. Abaye Yamar. Who is Abaye? Okay, let's make an order. Abaye and Rava are disciples. They are the generation after Rabba and Rav Yosef. Okay, so Rabba Bar Nachmani was the chief rabbi, and then later on Rav Yosef. Abaye was a disciple of Rav Yosef. So he was the nephew of Rabba Bar Nachmani. Rabba Bar Nachmani brought up Abaye. When Abaye was in utero, his father died, and in childbirth, his mother died. So Abaye was completely orphaned. He was named Nachmani, I guess after his father or grandfather, and then he was adopted by Rabba Bar Nachmani. Rabba Bar Nachmani didn't want to call him his father's name. His own father was Nachmani. So what's he going to call this orphan child by his father's name, Nachmani? So he gave him the nickname Abaye, my father's name, like Abba. Abba is Aramaic for father. Abba isn't Hebrew. Abba is Aramaic. Abaye is also an acronym. The verse says, Asher Becha Yerucham Yatom, an orphan finds compassion in you, Hashem. So Abaye also stands for that. So Rabba Bar Nachmani gave Abaye this nickname. And throughout the Shas, we find Abaye and Rava arguing. Most of the time, the halacha is going to be like Rava. Rava, that's not his real name. His real name was Rebbe Abba. They shortened it. They made it Rava. So Abaye says, Shelo yafiach behem. A person can't pass air, he can't pass gas when he's wearing tefillin. So that's halacha. We pask in that way. When a person's wearing tefillin, he has to be careful. If a person has stomach trouble, so then he might not be able to wear tefillin. If he can wear tefillin for 2 minutes without passing air, so he'll wear tefillin for those 2 minutes and say Kriya Shema. If he could wear them for 3 minutes and he could get in a Shmoneh Esrei, so he'll put on his tefillin for Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Person has to gauge himself if he has stomach trouble. But so a person that's having a clean body. Rava Amar Shelo Yishan Behem. Rava says you can't sleep in your tefillin because naturally when a person sleeps. So we're concerned that a person can pass air, a person can sometimes have an emission, so a person has to keep his body clean. Our tefillin require a clean body, but why is it that this rabbi, Elisha, was called Elisha, master of the wings? Shepam achat, gazera malchut edom, gzera l'Yisrael. The Romans made a decree, shekol ha-meneach tefillin yenakru et mocho, that whoever wears tefillin, they'll take a hammer and a long nail, and they will pierce his skull directly where he puts on his tefillin. That was the decree. Vaya Elisha menicham v'yotze l'shuk. So Elisha donned his tefillin and walked in public in the marketplace where 2 million people were walking the marketplace. He's going in a mass, among the masses, wearing tefillin publicly. Why did he do that? Because if there's a decree that we have to transgress a mitzvah, and it's part of a goal to get the Jews to stop keeping a mitzvah, that's what's called a shmad, so then you have to stand up to it. You have to say, I'm not embarrassed to be a Jew. I'm not changing what I did one iota. So Elisha did that. Ra'u kasdor echad. So a Roman soldier saw him, started chasing him. So there's no mitzvah to die. Ratz mipanav. So he ran away. Ratz acharav. So the Roman soldier ran after him. Keman shegetz lo natlan moshov achasan biyado. When the Roman soldier caught up to him, so Elisha took him off his head and held him in his hand. So he put him in his hand. Amalo maza biyadecha. So the Roman asked him, what do you have in your hand? Amalo kanfeyuna. He said, I have dove wings. Pashatit yadovanim tu kanfeyuna. He opened his hand, and what they saw were dove wings. So the miracle happened to him. לפיכך קוראים אותו אלישע בעל כנפיים. That's why he got the nickname Elisha, the master of the wings. Okay, so the question here is, what's going on here? I want us to learn Tosfos here. We don't usually learn Tosfos here, we will. So first of all, it says you have to have a clean body like Elisha. What's the connection? You have to have a clean body. So Tosfos says an interesting answer. He says, well, if he had a miracle, so then that means he was very careful with the way he observed the mitzvah. When a person is careful in how they observe a mitzvah, so then that, without that, you can't have a miracle in the mitzvah. If he was careful, then he had the mitzvah. So that's the first thing Tosfos tells us. Tosfos then says, that gives us an out. Maybe that's why not everyone wears tefillin. You see, in France and other Ashkenazi countries, people weren't always wearing tefillin. It's one of the things the rabbis were yelling about. You have to wear tefillin. People weren't always careful about it. So Tosfos says maybe that's why. Maybe because people were not couldn't keep their bodies clean. The Talmud tells us in Tractate Shabbos that if you look, there are certain mitzvos that Klal Yisrael holds on to, and then there are mitzvos we're not so good at. What's an example of a mitzvah that everyone does? It doesn't matter how observant or less observant you are, everyone does it. Brit Milah. Everyone does Brit Milah. Why? So the Talmud says that we had decrees against certain mitzvot, and when we stood up for those mitzvot, we held on to them strong. What's another mitzvah we had decrees against? Hanukkah, you said. The Talmud says there were decrees against Hanukkah, and the Jews stood up to it. It says that there were decrees against Purim. It says there were decrees. There was a time when it was life-threatening to keep Purim. That's why the rabbis limited the observance of Purim. It used to be that under certain circumstances you could keep Purim on the 11th of Adar, the 12th of Adar, the 13th of Adar. That's the first Mishnah in Tractate Megillah. But then when it became dangerous to keep Purim, so they said leave it to the 2 days you have to. Purim on the 14th, and if you're in a walled city, the 15th. But you see, the Jews stuck by it. So you see, like you said, Purim is also, everyone does Purim. So the question here is, why did he take them off his head? And was he right in taking them off his head? We just said that when the non-Jews say, we're going to kill you for doing a mitzvah, then we're not supposed to give in. We're supposed to keep that mitzvah. So there's a machlokas rishonim about whether what he did was right or wrong. Meaning the the Ran later on, this story appears later on in Tractate Shabbos again, at the end of the tractate, and over there the Ran brings up that maybe what he did was wrong. And he offers two explanations. There are two opinions among the rishonim. One opinion says that he was the only one walking in the marketplace with tefillin. So that's what the Talmud says. Tefillin, we're not so good at. You know, the people who are observant put on tefillin every day, and the people who are not so serious about observing, so you can find that they have their tefillin from their bar mitzvah, they never put them on again. So that, the Gemara says, that's because we didn't stick to it. When they made this decree, that's an example. No one but Elisha was wearing it. That's one understanding. And the other understanding is that even Elisha didn't stand up to the decree the way he should have. Because you see, when the Roman caught up to him, he took it off his head. So he merited a miracle, but it wasn't perfect. That's the other understanding. Yes?
Is it really that fair, though, to compare, especially talking about wearing tefillin like all day in public places, like, is it a different level of security and safety to oneself to celebrate a holiday one day a year or perform one act in secret that maybe you can make last 5 minutes? On the eighth day of like the boy's life, and then there's putting a visible garment on yourself all day, every day for public. But it's a very different spectrum of safety with those things.
So let me tell you a story.
Realistically, what happens, but logistically speaking, you know, there is.
I hear you. Things. I hear you. I agree with what you're saying, but I want you to know one point, okay? And I'm just telling the story because I think that way it will remain with you. Our story goes back 20 years ago, okay? I get a phone call from JEP, in Rockland County, Jewish Education Program. there's a young man who lives in upstate New York who's a wrestler, professional wrestler. And he's 18, 19 years old. He hasn't put on tefillin since his bar mitzvah. He'd like to have a refresher course. How do you put on tefillin? So can you meet with him on a Sunday, show him how to put on tefillin? So I was very young then. I said, I'm still very young, but I was even younger then. And I said to him, I said, okay, you know, but you know, you want me to do it? They said, yeah, no one else can do it. You do it. Fine. What was I supposed to tell him? I didn't know what to say. So I went to a Hasidish friend of mine, Hasidish Rebbe, and later on he became a Hasidish Rebbe, and I asked him, what should I tell him? What should I tell him? How do you put on tefillin? What am I supposed to tell him? So he said to me, you tell him this. You tell him, every day you're supposed to put this on, but it's very easy. Put on the arm, wrap it around your finger, put on the head, say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you're finished, take it off. Now, if you want to be pious, you say the full Shema. That's it. You'll want to grow from that. You'll learn more later. He said to me, the key is make it real easy for him because the biblical mitzvah he did with that. Why am I telling you this? Because you're starting from the perspective you have to put him on all day. No, you don't. You have to know that even if you for whatever reason, the person is not going to daven that day. So you should. You should daven 3 times a day, but at least 1 time a day. You should daven in a congregation, but if not, at least in private. But putting on tefillin is biblical. And it's easy. A person can do it like that. So it's not, the only excuse we could say is that doing something every day is harder than doing it once in a lifetime. That's why I said I agree with you. It's a good point. But you see, the Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara seems to have understood that on a spiritual level, if we would have been dedicated enough to this mitzvah to stand up to the Romans and say, we're willing to give up our lives, we're not giving up this mitzvah, so then we would find that we're still doing it.
Why do you have to do it in the first place? That you could fulfill the biblical commandments at home and as private, so then why would Shema require him to go out?
Right, so that's a machlokas rishonim over here. There's another machlokas rishonim that's based on this. The problem is we're out of time. Okay, I'll summarize it in 60 seconds. There's a machlokas rishonim when we say that you have 3 mitzvot that you have to give up your life for. So then at the time of Shema, you have to be willing to give up for anything. But did he have to go out and publicly wear the tefillin? So this is one of the sources for those rishonim that say that for other mitzvot, it's permissible to give up your life. So then, and that's a level of piety, and that's a machlokas we don't really have closure on. So then this is one of the sources. That's one understanding of what's going on here. One understanding is, like he's saying, people walked around with it. For Elisha not to go with tefillin would be to concede to the Shemad. So the Rambam in Igeret HaShemad, he explains that if you don't, then that's conceding to Shemad. So you're not allowed to concede to Shemad. So Elisha wore the tefillin. I don't think he gives this example, but that's the idea. Others say, no, he didn't have to do it. This was a level of piety. That a person who wants to be pious may give up their life for other mitzvot as well. And then you have others who say that Elisha wasn't as pious as he should have been. Because you see, even he caved in the end. And that means they hold that on the Shemad he should have stood up till the end. But that's in a nutshell. Tov, so to be continued as such.